All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by my boy, Sammy Reed. It is the Gilcast, but in the sense of like, we're doing it without the fishiest one of the bunch. So like, this is just like peering into the aquarium as opposed to the full fishy experience. Cause Nate, he's like working a job. He's like in an office somewhere. So Nate's not here. Yeah, he's not here.
What if it, yeah, this is like the art cast, you know, there's no science involved here.
Yeah. And let me tell you, Sammy Reed, Sunday was quite the artful day for myself. It was beautiful. The Kansas City Chiefs, of course, roll over the Tennessee Titans, and one of my least favorite athletes of all times, Aaron Rodgers, just takes massive L's to the San Francisco 49ers. And it was a great day for me in fantasy, great day in betting. It was a good Sunday.
And Soccer Dave. You got the W over him, and that must have felt really good. Derrick Henry didn't break 70 yards. That must have felt great.
Man, how good can you run? Just every Derrick Henry truther just had to have spent the second half of that game just going and deleting old tweets. It just had to have been a delete tweet festival, because the starting running backs in the Super Bowl are undrafted free agent Damian Williams and undrafted free agent Raheem Mostert. Mostert actually had more rushing yards this season for the 49ers than he did in all of college.
Do you feel vindicated with your Damian Williams take now that he's just like run roughshod over the playoffs and scored an ass load of touchdowns?
So clearly the original take was correct, right? Because the original take was, it doesn't matter who the running back is in Kansas City. You want to own that running back in fantasy.
That's right. You want KCRB.
Right. So the issue was, though, is that for like 7.5 games, the Chiefs made KC, RB, Darrell Williams, and LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy thing was just a wild subplot of this season.
Inactive.
Yeah. I mean, you can't like go into a must-win game and have a guy that keeps a ball 4 feet away from his body at all times. You just can't do that. So the guy
holds it like a loaf of bread, Sammy. And I think, I mean, Andy Reid just, he'd had enough.
The only way this entire weekend could have gone better is if Darwin Thompson had done something with the snaps that he got and made you feel better about taking him in the eighth round of seasonal leagues.
It wasn't the sharpest thing we've ever done.
No, it's not. It's not. But, you know, things turn out real well. So tell me a little bit about your DFS day, because we should lead with that. And then we can talk about like the real football stuff.
So I played 280 lineups on DraftKings.com, not including showdown stuff on Sunday. And I played 280 Patrick Mahomes lineups, 280 Damian Williams lineups, and 0 Derrick Henry lineups. Unfortunately, well, I guess first of all, Damian had a big game, but he cost a little bit too much to be the flex guy. So Aaron Jones matching him for a cheaper salary, and then, you know, Raheem Mostert obviously just absolutely crushing it. I think he got 50 DraftKings points.
Yeah, 50
that one. Meant, yeah, so that meant that Damian probably was not going to be in the optimal lineup. What really killed me from, like, I think I tripled up basically on those entries, but what killed me from like an absolute smash was 66% George Kittle and I think 55% Travis Kelce, and I believe those guys combined for 7.5 DraftKings points.
Yeah, so that was what got me too. I had 0% Kelce, and I just went straight Kittle and went a bunch of Sammy Watkins and Damian and Tyreek Hill. At some point, you just kind of gotta, if you're not gonna play
the Sammy Watkins Martingale system, dude.
I mean, how good could it be? He got open deep, and I'm like, Sammy! Like, everything was lit. I mean, I'll tell you. So, I had no idea how owned anybody would be on this slate. And so, I'm at my buddy's place watching the night game, and I had a bunch of Raheem Mostert, and he is smashing, and I'm just like, bro. Nobody is going to own Raheem Mostert. I'm going to win tens of thousands of dollars. Like, this is incredible. I think I might have the nuts. And then when the game ended, like, I didn't want to look at my winnings. And so when the game ended, I, like, opened my app to, like, see how many figures my winnings were. And it was, like, three figures because everybody owned Raheem
Everyone had Mostert.
He was 50% owned. I was like, oh, I thought I was, like, so sneaky and sharp.
That's why – honestly, that's why I thought Damian was such a good lock button, because I knew people would be playing Derrick Henry, who was, like, legit – if you include, like, points per dollar, Derrick Henry was the – I guess he was the third worst play of the slate because Kittle and Kelsey were so bad. But, I mean, the reason why my lineups were so good yesterday, even without – I think I was just matched the field on Mostert. It might have even been a little bit – like, I might have only had, like, 45%. I don't remember exactly, because I actually boosted Tevin a lot. I thought Tevin was, like, a pretty good – because he was more, you know, he was more expensive and he was projected for fewer points. So I actually thought Tevin was a pretty sharp play. It didn't really end up mattering, though.
No, I mean, God, 50% on Mostert. And I was really out of touch. You know, I did not consume any content this past week, anything like that. I just sat down and made lineups. You know, this was not like I was listening to podcasts. So I was like, dude, Tevin just went off. Like, this is a good spot. Like, everyone's going to own Tevin, and I'm going to own Mostert and just, like, smash. And it turns out that was not an original thought by any stretch of the imagination.
Did you play any other quarterbacks? Did you play Jimmy or Rodgers or Tannehill at all?
Yeah, I had 80% Mahomes and 20% Jimmy G. That was it.
Jimmy G threw 8 forward passing attempts.
Yeah, he didn't quite get to 3 DraftKings points, but he was really close to it. If you round up, he got to 3. So RIP that. But, like, the case for playing anyone else but Mahomes, I know there was game theory reasons to do it, but if you really looked at this, you just had to differentiate somewhere else. Like, differentiating at tight end was really the play. If you had some,
you just needed to load Firkser in, dude.
Yeah, some Firkser or some Janu. I, like, went off brand and I smashed a bunch of Kittle, and that part didn't work out, unfortunately, because Mostert was busy getting all the yards and touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, Raheem Mostert, it was just one of those things where after the first touchdown run, you were just like what? Like, there's just like you that first touchdown, I think it was 35 yards, and you were like, oh, actually the Packers are just not going to be able to do anything about this. Like, they're just going to have to watch this because you know that it's not like Rodgers was ever going to put the 49ers in a situation where they had to throw. Yeah. Like, Rodgers was so dusty bad in this game.
I mean, the San Francisco defense is stifling, bro. I mean, that's a big time mismatch. I thought that, you know, Green Bay's offensive line could hang somewhat because they're fairly strong, and they got worked. They got worked hard. And yeah. I mean, Rodgers just has no other option besides Devontae Adams. They have no second option they can go to. You know, it's like, yeah, they can get 2 or 3 catches to Lazard and, you know, maybe one here or there to Jimmy Graham, but, like, they don't have anybody who can stretch the field, that can make plays on their own after the catch. They're just really, really devoid of weapons, and that ended up costing them.
Well, I mean, you know what might be an interesting idea for them if they want to think about this moving forward is, like, maybe when you get good athletic players like Marquez Valdez-Scantling or Jay Sternberger or something
Or Jeff Janis.
I mean, maybe don't let your dickhead quarterback run those guys out of town or send them to the bench. Maybe just tell him he's got a deal, right?
Just say the name Jeff Janis. I mean, it's okay.
I mean, Janis came on my podcast and said, like, Rodgers is super hard on new guys. Like, he was like, he did not pull any punches. He was like, no, this is a real problem. But he's done the same thing now to Geronimo Allison, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and their rookie tight end, Jay Sternberger. None of those guys, actually, Sternberger caught a touchdown, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But these guys have not played because Rodgers doesn't like them.
Maybe it's time for a revolt in Green Bay. Maybe they should start being hard on Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it's time for this because, I mean, Rodgers just, dude, I mean, he's still capable of making 2 or 3 throws a game, like that first throw to Lazard when he was rolling left and hit Lazard on the left sideline. Like, that's just, like, otherworldly. But this is not what he does on a play-to-play basis anymore. And yeah, like – That's a tough scene for them because they had literally no chance. Like, it was very apparent. You know, I ended up, I think I bet Green Bay plus eight, you know?
And I bet Green Bay plus 7.5, actually.
Yeah, and I was just, I mean, it wasn't a lot of money. It was, I think I bet like $20. I was just like, oh, I have a little skin in the game. I think Rodgers can keep it close because he's Rodgers. That was decidedly incorrect. San Francisco just like is so much better than Green Bay. Green Bay was kind of false all year. They were false, 13-3? And they got exposed in this game really, really, really badly.
Speaking of exposed, maybe the Titans should spend less time like diagramming up plays to the, like, their tackles, and maybe just think about like maybe don't run on first down every single time. Maybe throw a pass on first downs every once in a while. Do you think that they considered that?
Looking at it, like kind of post game, Derrick Henry averaged 3.6 yards per carry and minus 4 yards per reception. Davis, that's not good. It's not good.
It's not. It's I would say overall it's not great.
Would you say suboptimal, perhaps?
I'd say suboptimal. I mean, the Titans very much have the same issue as the Green Bay Packers, that I guess Jonnu is good and AJ Brown is pretty good, but
Brown is really good, bro.
But like, they're like, Corey Davis and Adam Humphries were like big parts of that game, so that's not great. Like, the counterpart to those guys on the Chiefs are Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman. So like, that is, you know, it's just very clear who the advantage, why KC was favored by so much coming into this game.
Yeah, and the reality is, when you kind of look at Tennessee, it's like, okay, how is Kansas City going to stop Derrick Henry? And do you know how you stop Derrick Henry? You go up multiple scores. That's just how you do it. And, you know, at the end of the day, they had to take Derrick Henry off the field, basically.
Freaking D.L. Lewis, big part of this game. You love, yeah. Hey, Sammy, you know who loved to see it?
I
love to see it.
What a great weekend for you, man. I'm very happy for you. You know, there's the haters on Twitter can all suck it. You just ran really pure this weekend, and we're getting the Super Bowl that we deserved, honestly. Like, it kind of sucks that we didn't get the Baltimore-Kansas City AFC championship.
Yeah,
game,
that's the thing, is the Titans running like so fish hot in that game against Baltimore kept us from, I mean, KC Baltimore in the AFC conference championship game, that would have been epic. That would have been the game, right?
Epic. Yeah.
Yeah. So like stupid Derrick Henry does his jump pass or whatever, and that that robs us of like a great game.
I would have liked to see some next gen stats on how high Derrick Henry actually got off the ground on that jump pass.
I mean, I would wager over 32 inches probably.
He got 3 feet off the ground, just levitated.
No, that's 2.5 ish.
Yeah.
That's not even that high. 2.5 is not even that high.
You're tripping.
I mean, he probably did his full vertical leap, which I, well, actually, you know what? Now I got to go look it up.
Bro, he got like 4 inches off the ground.
I think he has a huge vertical leap. 37 inches for Derrick Henry. That's a massive leap.
I'm sure he was not maxing out on the jump pass.
Dude, you don't know. What do you know? What do you know about Derrick Henry, bro? He's a cyborg.
You thought he was dunking. I mean, here's the thing. Like, Derrick Henry, clearly a really fun player. Like, it's fun to watch him run the ball. But I think that at the end of the day, a lot of the people, I mean, it's tough to say, oh, Derrick Henry, like, smashed, like, 4 or 5 games in a row, and he, like, didn't have one great game, and, like, all the RV doesn't matter, truthers won. But at the end of the day, when you're facing a real legitimate team who can get a lead, I mean, you have to have more than that. You have to have more than that, and Tennessee didn't.
Yeah, Tennessee could really – and they showed this in the Saints game as well. They can really only be successful in one type of game. And people kept bringing up the original Kansas City-Tennessee game, not remembering how absolutely bonkers crazy that game was. That game was insane. There was a fumble scoop and score that the Titans got to get back in. And then they were going to lose by 2 touchdowns. And then there were 2 straight missed field goals from Kansas City – No, one wasn't missed. One was the holder botched it. I don't even remember Kansas City's name. The Kansas City's kick holder's name. I think it's Colquitt that does it.
But of course you don't. You don't even know who Tyrann Mathieu is. How are you going to know who their holder's name is?
Dude, that guy, the honey badger, bro, there was one play he made yesterday where I was like, wow, maybe that guy matters. Maybe that guy actually does change the outcome of games.
Was it when he put Corey Davis into the ground?
It was the screen. Yeah. I mean, that play, that is like, so if like Mecole Hardman runs that play though, he clearly just spins away from whoever the defender is and has a touchdown. Not that I'm like mad that I played 45% Mecole Hardman or anything and he didn't do anything.
who did Sherman steal the touchdown from? Thankfully it was not
Hardman. It was D-Rob number 11.
Oh, it was D-Rob. Okay. Yeah. That would have been a mega tilt for you. Unfortunately.
That Mahomes rushing touchdown though. I mean, that's gotta be like the defining play of his career right now.
That was just kind of like Elway in the Super Bowl moment where Elway had the rush and like kind of got helicoptered. I mean, that was pretty sweet. It was pretty sweet. Very bad tackling by Tennessee. I think they could have given maybe a little better effort.
It's so interesting because I actually think that the Green Bay defenders made a pact to just not tackle Raheem Mostert.
That's what it looked like. It looked like they had some sort of, he had a force field around him because, I mean, at all times when he was just running through, I mean, there were these giant gaps through the middle, and then there would be like some point where somebody could take an angle and tackle him, and then they just kind of like got a finger on him or a shoulder on him and bounced off, and he just like rumbled through. There was never like there was even one dude where before he had his second touchdown, he ran right up the middle and trucked somebody and almost just ran them over and ran for a touchdown, but he tripped over their carcass right at the very end. He ended up getting a touchdown later on the drive, but I was like, dude, they don't want any piece of Mostert right now. And that proved to be true.
Isn't it like, okay, it is kind of crazy though that Matt Breida, like when Matt Breida has played, he's like the GOAT. Like Matt Breida has like smashed like pretty much every time he's played. Tevin Coleman gets a wrist injury yesterday and the 49ers are just like, nah, dude, we are getting Mostert all the records. And that's what they did.
Yeah. I mean, they just, you know, you hate to use like these terms like impose their will and, you know, this and that. But the Niners really did impose their will. They're just like, we are. I mean, it was like a Madden game where you're playing against some dude who doesn't even know what's going on. You have like three rush plays that they have no idea how to stop. And you just do this because like you're playing for a bunch of money and you're like, oh, I'm not going to do anything where I can lose this game.
It's like, okay, so the whole rushing versus passing thing, I mean, running is clearly worse. No one argues that. But if you're just going to be able to truly get 5 yards a play with no risk and no sweat at all, I don't think that, like, I'm not going to say, like, running is bad, right? And that's, like the 49ers were just able to get 5 yards a play without breaking a sweat. Like, they right. just did not have to sweat it at all.
Right. I mean, the math of it is just like so simple. It's crazy that, you know, you average whatever, 7+ yards an attempt when you pass, and you average like 4 yards, 4.5 yards an attempt when you run. Like, it's literally math. It's easier math than basketball, where you have to figure out what percentage of threes is higher than a certain percentage of twos. Like, it's just apples to apples. It's very easy. But at the end of the day, when you have a lead, like, it's a way lower variance way to play, right? And when you have a lead, you just don't need to put any of that variance up there. And the Niners didn't. So, I mean, this was just a brutal, I mean, this game really sucked, honestly. Like,
I did not watch all of it. I mean, first of all, I was just like, I was on edge during the first half of the Kansas City Tennessee game. Oh, and they went up,
what, 10-0 and 17-7? Yeah. And you're like, no, 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 no.
Yeah. Like,
not
I'm
like I'm, this.
So, like, first of all, is the deepest Kansas City ever got on the money line was -130. So, like, the betting models were not ever really sweating it that hard. Not that the live lines are always 100% accurate, but, like, you never were able to bet them as an underdog. And the second part of that is, I mean, Tennessee ran hot. They got the ball. They got the ball to start. They converted on fourth down twice in the first half. And they got, I think at this point, every Kansas City game has to start with Travis Kelce dropping a pass on third down. Like, doesn't it just feel like he dropped?
That's kind of how they get into their groove, yeah.
Just like every time. So I'm sweating all of that out. And by the end of that game, dude, I was just exhausted. Like, I was like, I had it on, but I was not paying. And also, I like knew the outcome of that game. Like, it's just you see Rodgers drop back and like throw the ball away and yell at his receiver for the first time, and you know what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. I live in the Bay Area, so I was at like a Niners party at night. You know, where like everyone there's like super on edge. You know, and they're like, oh crap, like trying to make this a Super Bowl, we gotta win. You know, and I'm just an impartial observer. I'm not a Niners fan. I'm just like, after 5 minutes, I was like, dude, you guys have this locked. Like, 0% chance for Green Bay. They were just faulty. And the Niners are, I mean, basically one of the top three best coach teams in the NFL. They have great lines on both sides. They have an amazing scheme. They have multiple playmakers on offense that we don't really give them a lot of credit for. But Deebo Samuel is a beast with the ball in his hands. George Kittle is a beast with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, so Deebo had two receptions on the first drive, and then that was it.
They gave him a couple rushes just to, like, let him show off. But, like, dude, when you have these guys, when you have this scheme where you can do a bunch of, like, boot rollouts and get the ball to these guys in space in the flats and let them run with the ball, and you have guys with after-the-catch abilities like Kittle and Deebo Samuel, I mean, that's tough to deal with. So, I mean, I think the Niners they're pretty well equipped to come in here into the Super Bowl. They can hang with Kansas City in terms of, like, if this needs to be a high-scoring game, as long as they don't let Kansas City get a couple-score lead, like, San Francisco is going to be able to hang in this game for sure. Like, what are your early thoughts about how the Super Bowl is going to go?
So I do think that San Francisco can hang. I just think that they are going to find themselves having I just think that they are going to have the same problem that every team has against Kansas City, where, oh man, this is going to be such an extremely hand in the dirt take.
Let's go. So, come out hot.
Okay. Imagine yourself playing against Kansas City, and imagine yourself, you know, either being an offensive player or defense player, doesn't really matter. And you are just, dude, you're leaving it all out there. You're playing as hard as you can. You've been you really think that you can beat them, and you have them beaten on a play. Mahomes is dead to rights. You have Tyreek covered. And then Mahomes just twirls, launches a ball off his back foot 80 yards down the field. Mecole Hardman catches it and like does the dog ping celebration in the end zone. I think that they are the most, they got to be the most demoralizing team to play against in the NFL, because it's just like, it doesn't matter what you do. They're just more talented than you are.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they're the fastest team, right? That's the thing. They are the fastest team when you have Tyreek Hill.
I mean, that's not even like a narrative. They are actually the fastest team on offense.
Right. You have Tyreek Hill, you have Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman, and I mean, and then you have Kelce, who, you know, you don't think of him as a speed demon, but for a tight end, like, that guy makes plays, obviously, right? I think this is going to be a really, really interesting matchup. It's basically what I think is, like, the short version, it's the best team versus the best player, right? San Francisco is, like,
San Francisco. I think it's fair to say they are, like, a better team. Yeah.
Yeah. But, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, and I don't know that that's really up to debate.
You know what? You know what is kind of crazy is, like, that was like a little bit – like, how good Patrick Mahomes is was forgotten about a little bit because of how good Lamar was.
Correct. Yeah, it really was. And because Mahomes didn't have the statistical season this year that he did last year, right? So people are like, oh, maybe he's not quite as good, whatever. He got hurt a little bit, missed a couple games, I believe. But at the end of the day, he's still Patrick Mahomes. And he's doing Mahomes things all over the playoffs. Like, that run was really I mean, that was a career-defining moment in a lot of ways.
Dude, that run was gnarly.
Yeah.
Like, that was crazy, dude.
I mean, he cut back, bro. He cut back. And
I gotta keep it 100 here. I really did not know he had that in him. Like, for real. Like I knew that he could move and stuff, but like, I don't know. I've never seen him. Like, the fact that guy can make the throws that he does and then do a sideline run where he cuts back, shoulders a defender, and then pile drives into the end zone, dude.
Spin moves and carries a man into the end zone. I mean, everybody thought he was just going to go out of bounds. It was the reasonable thing to think. You know, time's running down. You know, you got to get out of bounds, run another play. Nah, dude, he smelt it from 30 yards out, and it was like, dude, I'm going to get it, and he got it. And from that point on, it was just like, oh, okay, Kansas City's taking this game. Mahomes ain't losing this game. Mahomes is not losing it. I mean, and the reality is if this isn't an indictment on the overtime rules, because I don't really want to relitigate these. They're imperfect, but whatever. But if Mahomes had gotten the ball last year instead of the Patriots, I fully believe that they would have gone down, scored a touchdown, and the Chiefs would have been in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean – like that is a very frustrating thing, is that I think that the Chiefs lost to an inferior team last year, and I think they would have beaten the Rams for sure.
I think a lot of teams look at the Patriots and say, damn, we lost to a worse team. And then the Patriots just have like six titles, you know. It is what it is. But I think that, you know, that was a big learning experience for those guys. And I think Mahomes came into this game and was just like, I'm not going down like that again. And he just put the team on his back and balled the F out. And now they're in the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's really hard the day after it happens to say, oh, I definitely think this team will win or that team will win. But, I mean, he's the best player. And I think sometimes when you're in the biggest games, you just have to side with the best player.
God, this is the most hand in the dirt Gilcast ever.
Hey man, it's more, I mean, when you're betting on the Super Bowl, it's more of an art, bro. It's more of an art.
And, yeah, and I mean,
the best artist out there is Pat Mahomes.
Have you made any wagers on the Super Bowl yet?
I have not. It opened at 1.5 for Kansas City, and I kind of wanted to see what would happen with it before I started getting down.
I bet, because I thought for sure by Monday morning it was going to be KC by 3, but I guess, I mean, what happened is just so the line, and not every book has these, and obviously you can't get that much down on it, so I don't know how much these are worth, but yesterday morning, so Sunday morning, before either of the games had been played, some books had the hypothetical matchups out where you could bet it before and then, you know, get your money back or whatever if it didn't play out. And KC was -2.5 over San Francisco in those lines. So that, you know, the 49ers put such a beating on the Packers that line moved a little bit.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about at the party I was at, is, okay, what's the spread going to be? And we decided, I think it really matters what happens in this game. You know, if San Francisco comes out and just like crushes them, it's going to be a really close line. And it is. And I love that, man. I love that this is like such a crazy close game. But I mean, the biggest mismatch of the game, we have to understand, is the San Francisco running game against the Kansas City rush defense. I mean, that is the biggest like mismatch. So that's a big point in San Francisco's favor.
I mean, I think if you are betting on San Francisco, your opinion of this game is pretty clear. You say the 49ers are going to be able to get a ton of pressure on Mahomes. Like, Mahomes had just all day against the Titans. Like, it looked like he was just hanging out back there on most of those plays. And that is not going to be the case for this 49ers game at all. They're going to have better plans.
Bosa is just like, he's immediately like one of the best three linemen in the NFL. Like, I mean, he is just a straight beast. I mean, that's just like a tough thing to deal with. Their entire defensive line all already really good. Like, those linebackers, guys you never even heard of, you know, Warner and Greenlaw, those guys are awesome. Like, this is a really talented defense, very, very zone heavy, right? So I'm really interested. Andy Reid, you know, the big thing is Andy Reid coming off the bye. Well, they'll have a bye, right? He's got 2 weeks to prepare for this zone defense, and he's going to have some tricks up his sleeve. He's going to have some ways to beat this defense, and I'm really interested to see kind of the ways he attacks them.
Do we want to take a look at some early, like, have you looked at Super Bowl props at all?
No, but I'm fully in. So if you want to pull them up. So
I have them pulled up, and they don't, obviously they do not have, they're not all pulled up or anything like that. Like there are loads more that are going to be posted, and we are going to do a full Gilcast for the Super Bowl preview and everything.
I will have IDP takes. My John Johnson lock of last year over 6.5 tackles is still my defining prop bet moment.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have all the usual stuff, coin toss and everything like that.
Yeah, forget that.
So I bet the first half. I bet because the line is 1.5, but the first half line is 0.5, right? So just you're basically just saying Kansas City wins the first half. I bet that. I don't know if you care about that one at all. Some of the other interesting ones though are these are the fun ones to bet is first touchdown score or anytime touchdown score. And I guess the issue you're going to have is that it's the Super Bowl and they know people are going to bet these, so the prices, they are not short. Like Matt Breida.
They're all bad.
Yeah, Matt Breida. Wait, if you had to guess, what do you think the Matt Breida anytime touchdown score is?
I mean, that should be like plus 10,000.
It's plus 160.
Come on. Yeah, it's super bad.
It's not great. So some of the ones that I thought were that I'm going to bet just to have, just cause like, what, how can you watch this game and not have a million things that you're betting on? First touchdown score, Kansas City, Blake Bell, 40-1.
Nice.
I thought that one was sort of interesting.
Oh, I have a lock. This is easy. First team to call a timeout, Chiefs minus 115.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Let's go, Andy Reid. Let's go.
Oh, there was one that I thought was pretty good, and it was first play of the game, pass or run or other, and run was favored, but it's the Chiefs. So I actually think pass, like, if they get the ball, I think pass is kind of like interesting there.
I mean, I'd lean toward pass too, because maybe San Francisco wants to get Jimmy G involved. Play action first play, you know? Play action and Kittle first play. Get him in the rhythm.
All right, so these are –
first play pass.
Do you have any national anthem takes?
I do not. I don't even know who's singing it.
Demi Lovato.
Oh, boy.
So that's here's an interesting one. Will any scoring drive take less time than it takes for the national anthem to be sung?
I might go with yes on that.
That is minus 170.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd probably take the other side then.
Yeah. Not super ideal there, but what can you do? Okay, let's see. Distance of the longest penalty of the game. So this is basically, is there going to be a pass interference over 15.5 yards?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yes is minus 135. The prices on these are so bad.
Yeah, they're egregious. I mean, here's the thing. So, I mean, most people listening to this are going to be, if you make bets, you're going to be betting online. But if you live somewhere like, you know, Atlantic City, Vegas, Lake Tahoe, somewhere where you can actually put in live bets. I'll just tell you right now, the prices get worse as time goes on. Like the closer you get to the Super Bowl, like if you go in Saturday before the Super Bowl and go into the books, the prices are all going to be worse. So I would say start looking at this stuff now if you're going into like a brick and mortar place and get them in.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I guess another thing is, if you're gonna bet on Kansas City, betting on Mahomes Super Bowl MVP I think makes a ton of sense. But if you're gonna bet San Francisco, I think that there are actually great prices. Kittle 14-1.
I was gonna say Kittle.
Bosa 18-1, Debo 30-1, and then like field or defensive player. I think for if San Francisco's going to win, like Jimmy is not going to win Super Bowl MVP, I think.
Yeah, it's very tough because the way that they win is going to be, oh, we get a lead and choke you out. You know, and we do, and we have our playmakers do a bunch of stuff, you know, Kittle, like, you know, catch and run and a bunch of running back stuff. It's very difficult. Like if the 49ers win, it is very, it's a huge underdog that they like come back, you know, and Jimmy G throws for like 350 and three on like a huge comeback. Like that's probably right. Not the way that they win. Whereas Mahomes certainly could and has throughout the playoffs.
I think that that's I think that that is definitely true. Team to make first coaches challenge. Gotta be KC.
It's gotta be KC. I mean, literally anything where like the coach can do something stupid, first time out, coaches challenge, any of that stuff. You know, first coach to get penalized for being out on the field, any of that stuff. Bet on Andy Reid. Just put it all on Andy Reid. I mean, this is really going to be – all eyes are going to be on Andy Reid. What kind of stupid thing will he do? I hope it's nothing. Andy Reid has been an amazing coach in this league for a long time and hasn't won a Super Bowl. And I would like to see him win or lose, like have a good game and be a little vindicated for all the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Shanahan, like whatever. You know, good for you, bro. But – like, come on, let Andy Reid win one.
Good for you, bro. Davis is on Team Boomer here, which I really like.
Kyle Shanahan looks like a dude who like asks you if he could have a rip of your vape because he forgot his at home.
and if he asked me, I would say yes, absolutely, you can, buddy.
Yeah, is he like a deity out in the Bay Area where you're from?
Yeah, people are big on Shanahan, and they should be. I mean, he's really sharp.
Yeah, he is. He's
I mean, this team had the second pick in the NFL draft last season.
That is, I mean, that's pretty crazy, right? Like, that's wild.
I mean, it all worked out because they weren't the second worst team, but their quarterback got hurt, you know? Yeah. And they had good infrastructure, but they had a lot of injuries, but it was, like, led by C.J. Beathard, and who was the other guy?
Nick Mullins, who, like, people were truthering Nick Mullins.
That is correct, right? So, you know, this was a team that certainly wasn't that bad, but had a bad injury. And so to be able to pick up, I mean, really an impact defensive player that has been amazing all season in Bosa, and then just add that to a really good infrastructure and get their franchise quarterback back all at once. And, you know, we saw this with Atlanta, right, where the first year that Shanahan was there, it took a while for Matt Ryan to get in there, and then he was an MVP like his second year.
Right.
You know,
oh my gosh. And that was the year that really defined the Gilcast was Nate being like Nate being like, Matt Ryan, dude. Matt Ryan, he's a legend.
Yep. Yep. I miss those Noling days. I wish we had him on the podcast right now. Here's one. Longest touchdown in game, 44.5 yards, over or under.
Wait, say that again.
The longest touchdown of the game, 44.5.
Over. I think with KC, you got to – I mean, it's probably like minus 140 on the over, though.
Yeah, but no, it's even up.
Well, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's pretty even. But San Francisco's defense, like they play heavy zone, and they're very like don't let guys get behind you, et cetera. It's going to be tough for them to get really long touchdowns. I mean, I don't know. Tyreek Hill can obviously get one at any time, so –
what will happen to the price of BTC during the Super Bowl? Bitcoin price is more or less at the end of the games?
I think it matters if our president declares war during the game or not. You can just see a halftime tweet, you know, we're going to war. Like, oh, what? So that would be good for Bitcoin.
I think my strategy is I'm just going to be making most of my bets like this is like a 42-35 style game. Like, just because, like, I think the 49ers are going to be able to run the ball so well. And I think that, you know, despite how good the 49ers defense is, I don't think anything's going to stop Kansas City from scoring points. So I think I'm going to, like, you know, bet on safeties, bet on special teams touchdowns, stuff like that.
I think that's pretty sharp to think this will be a higher scoring game. And I think it was different in different books, but I think the over-under was like 52-54.
It was 53 right when it opened, and I'll tell you what it is right now. I bet that already moved. Yeah, it's already 54. I bet it 53 last night because I'm probably the sharpest sports bettor alive.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a fact. I can't wait for us to go through all our props, though. I mean, yeah, give it a week to figure this stuff out. I mean, this is the week. This is the week for props. I mean, that's the fun of the Super Bowl. Are you going to play a Super Bowl showdown?
Dude, of course. We're going to have a full – I mean, obviously, you and Nate and I will be doing showdown on all of our – like, our whole TakeCast thing here. But then we're also going to have stuff on, like, the TakeCast. Like, it's going to be – there's going to be plenty of content.
Is it going to be Mecole Hardman? You've mentioned his name many times, Mecole Hardman in the caption.
I mean, look, if Mecole Hardman doesn't score a touchdown in this game, I'm going to have to be living on you or Nate's couch probably. I'm just trying to leverage it all.
I don't know what could go better for Nate's new marriage than having Davis on his couch.
It's true. It'd be beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Last Gilcast, well, not the last Gilcast recap of the season. We will have one more Gilcast preview of the season with the full gang. Everyone, make sure to follow Sammy Reed on Twitter at Sammy Reed FI.
Yeah, baby.
Loving the Twitter handle.
Thanks,
and,
buddy.
And we will be back soon enough to discuss the Super Bowl.